Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. I want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
The problem most men have is they don't know how to talk to women.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
You know what my problem is? I am not interesting.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
What am I supposed to say? I went to magic camp? I'm an accomplished ventriloquist?
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Oh, I am a seventh degree imperial yo-yo master. Oh, do me, yo-yo master. I want you to do me because you're the yo-yo guy.
The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Hour two here on the number one sports radio station. All day, every day. Best believe it. Dirt and Sprague with you on this beautiful Wednesday.
Just a big party today, man.
It is a big party.
I've loved so far the two things. So I threw it out on Twitter for people to respond with how they reacted. Like, what were they doing in the moment after the shot went in? And the responses have been hilarious. And then you asked in the last segment what was going through people's minds down by 15 with 7 minutes left. And it's, I mean, everybody was, it was done. It was over.
Everybody thought it was done?
That we had a guy, I'm not, we had a guy.
Did somebody leave?
He turned the game off.
No.
I'll tell you exactly where I was down 15, 7 minutes. Extremely nervous Blazer fan. I turned that bleep off.
Damn.
I missed the whole ending.
Talked to a couple people in the building that, decided, okay, it's not going to happen. They were going to bed around 9:30, 9:45 or whatever it was.
Yeah, and Gary told me that. He changed the channel.
Gary turned the game off?
Yeah. He turned it back on, but he changed the channel. Joe, I'll give Joe Fisher a lot of credit for this. I was kind of thinking, oh, no, they are in serious trouble. I didn't completely abandon hope, but Joe made a good point. He was like, it feels like if they get one more bucket up 15, then it's over. And just like game one, where they got right there within one, just like game four, where they were kind of close for a while, OKC couldn't get over that hump. They couldn't get to the point of burying them.
No, their last eight possessions were awful outside of the one Paul George make.
I mean, Blazers ended on what, an 11-2 run?
13-2.
13-2 run.
And the only make was Paul George had one right around the free throw line. He missed a couple free throws. They had multiple turnovers. There was an offensive foul and, of course, a bunch of missed shots.
I think the only positive I took in the moment, because you were like, oh, OKC's kind of got it dialed in here, was Royce Young and the guy we had on yesterday, Eric Horn. They had both written pieces throughout the season of OKC goes through these random stretches where they're playing great.
Yeah.
And then right after they're done being on fire, they drop off the face of the earth. And I remember reading that in, I don't know, January or something, and I was like, maybe there's a chance. Yeah, I was kind of with everybody of the energy didn't feel good.
Right.
And then Nurkic showed up, and he's wearing the Got Bricks Next Question t-shirt, which I need.
God, that was fantastic.
Just a crazy and electric atmosphere last night, despite being down 15. I felt like the crowd, people in attendance, didn't completely abandon. Still going crazy, still cheering the team on, and they were able to rally. Let's get to some audio. Yes, the entire hour, we didn't play one cut from the postgame.
Well, they talked after the game?
Yes, they did.
Oh, that's right, they did.
Oklahoma City didn't get to the podium till about 11:10.
They took forever, and they didn't answer anything.
Well, they weren't all that excited to have to go.
Yeah.
Sharp vest by Dame, by the way. I like that look.
That's a good outfit, yeah.
Solid outfit.
Let's start with Terry Stotts. A lot of people kind of questioning, hey, Damian Lillard takes a step-back 37-footer. I love Terry Stotts' answer here because I think he is dead on and why he was okay with it.
I didn't mind it because it was a tie score. Paul George and Westbrook were both had five fouls. We had momentum. So if it did go to overtime, you know, I liked our chances with all that going on. But, you know, when it got down to four or five, I kind of knew what was going to happen.
I would say so. There's not much you can do at that point with 5 seconds left.
But look, a regular season game, I do feel like a lot of us would get on Twitter and go, that's your shot. That's your shot.
Sure.
But Stotts makes a lot of sense there. They both had five fouls. You are tied. I think maybe they liked the momentum going into overtime. Well, let Dame do what Dame wants to do, and let's not freak out about it.
Yeah, I think he's also going,
What do you do as the coach there? No!
Drive the ball!
Go in!
Right.
Like, it's Damian Lillard.
Well, plus, I think the other thing was, when people say, you know, would you like to have had him get a step closer? Fine. But he needed space because George was out there. That was the other thing.
Yeah.
He couldn't get right. He couldn't get a step or two closer. George was beyond the three-point line. He's like, all right, I got to step out. But just the do you want him to drive or do something like that? No, he hadn't been getting calls driving all night. He was not getting a whistle.
No.
You don't want to risk the chance that there's a fluky charge or a turnover and there's 0.7 seconds and they still had a timeout. It was a little deeper than normal, but
he felt, and it's one of those things I think where
and it was his night anyway.
Right. I mean, he was at 47 at the point. It's one of those things I think as NBA fans, we just have to. Like, even my fuddy-duddy self, sometimes it's hard to adjust to the new age NBA.
Yeah.
Like, Paul George, and we'll get to it, the whole that's a bad shot stuff. Like, the guy's percentage from 30 feet and deep was unbelievable. Not only in the entire series, but the entire season. Like, he hits at a good clip from out there. There's no such thing as a bad shot anymore in the NBA. But when you see it in the moment, I still go back to my old NBA fan self. Like, what the hell are you doing? There's 5 seconds left and you're 40 feet away from the hoop.
Now, if they were down one,
sure.
Then I say drive because NBA officials are prone to then blow a whistle at that point if you go into a melee, especially at the home crowd breathing down their necks.
Here's CJ McCollum, the final minutes of the game and kind of just his reaction to watching Dame's final shot.
We understood what was at stake for us as a unit. We understood what we wanted to accomplish. And we read a lot of the articles and, you know, I read everything. I'm sure the guys are reading, you know, Thunder and Five, Thunder and Six, all that stuff. So, you know, we use that as motivation. We use, you know, what happened last year as motivation. And I like to talk trash. So that was perfect for me. I was right up my alley. And I think that, you know, we matched the intensity. You know, besides game three, I thought that we matched the intensity and played well. And tonight, you know, they came out and threw a haymaker, landed a couple of them, and we bounced back. I think we were down 15 in the fourth quarter. When Nurk came with about 3-4 minutes left, we were down 8. And I just looked at him. I said, bro, we can still win this game. He said, I know. I said, just get one stop at a time. I said, let me know when you need a break. And down the stretch, you know, for the last play, you know, they took it out of bounds. I was like, you want the ball, right? He's like, yeah. I was like, all right, go get it. And I didn't know he was going to raise from 40. I was like, go. Then he raised from 40, and I was like, That's a bad. You know what I said.
And Damian Lillard on just the feeling he had when that shot went in.
It was a great feeling. You know, when it left my hands, it felt good. I felt good about it. And the last five or six minutes of the game, I just kept telling myself, like, for us to get this game, we was going to have to really, really dig, you know, to come out on top. So, the fact that I kept telling myself that and then we came out on top and the shot went in, I was like, man, it really happened. You know, we really dug and poured it out. So it was a great feeling.
Yeah, Dame continued on waving goodbye to Oklahoma City. That was the thing. Did you guys initially, when you saw it on TV, because
I didn't notice it.
From 2-0, you didn't notice it?
I did not notice it right away.
I thought he's doing more the, I thought it was like a combo of a wave and a shut up, like yap, that's all you did, look who won type gesture. Here is Damian in the post game on that.
I mean, the series was over. You know, that was it. And I was just waving goodbye to him. And I think after game three, you know, Dennis Schroeder was out there pointing to his wrist. They was out there doing all these celebrations and doing all this stuff. And we kept our composure. And after one win, that was what they decided to do. And we was just like, okay, what we want to do is win four games. And then when we win those four games, it's not going to be nothing to talk about. So that's what that was.
And then Paul George was asked after Portland was on the podium, just kind of about that shot and how you kind of contest it.
I mean, that's a bad shot. I care what anybody says. That's a bad shot. But, hey, he made it. That story won't be told that it was a bad shot. We live with that.
And, of course, that's the one that's kind of made the rounds all over the internet, aside from so many other memes and whatnot, is him just kind of saying that's a bad shot. And then they're like, well, he made it. And Rachel Nichols and a lot of other people, Damian Lillard was 8 of 12 for 66% on shots from 30-plus feet in the series.
Yeah. In the series.
Every other player in the NBA is 6 of 38, 15% combined on those shots this postseason. And I think she makes a point. Paul George is overall, he's right. But you also have to take into account time, place, player, and Dame was just in a rhythm this whole series. It didn't matter how deep he was.
I believe on the season, too, he was just shy of 40% from 30 feet or deep. So, I mean, that's a good clip to shoot at from that deep away from the hoop. But you have to understand that's coming. Paul George tried at the very last second, realizing that Dame wasn't going to try and drive around him, and he lunged at him to get a hand in the way. But when you have a player that is shot not only that well throughout the course of the season, but even better throughout the course of the series, and then is having one of the best games we've ever seen in NBA playoff history with 47 points at that moment. I think, what did he have, 9 or 10 made threes at that moment? Like, he had torched you all night. And there's no such thing. When you're in that level of a zone as a basketball player, I don't care where you're heaving it from. There's no such thing as a bad shot in that moment. Paul George probably going to regret that comment. I did find it ironic, him saying bad shot sitting next to Russell Westbrook, who attempted 31 shots and was 11 of 31 last night.
Right on our push number, by the way.
Right
we said
on
over
it.
Under 31.
31 and a half. Right, yeah, there. and he hit the 31. So
I think if you're Paul George, I think that's – you have to convince yourself – it's so hard. It's like, I got to guard a guy 40 feet from the hoop.
But here's my, let me.
That's,
okay.
Well, yeah, I think he's telling that self in the mind. It's like.
Okay, so, but there's two things I want to take away from this. One, I'm not going to deny the fact that traditionally that is a terrible shot, and it may not be a good shot for Dame in the next series. But you do have to understand that when a guy is feeling it to that level, and it's not just a one-off game, it's like the whole series, he's 60% from that deep. You have to take that math away, and you have to change the way you play and your approach.
Yeah.
And I would even take that moment. A lot of people have tweeted and texted and whatnot and said, I was screaming, no, no, no. But I'm kind of thinking this watching as a fan media member of like, Damian Lillard wants to shoot the shot he thinks is going to win the game. Let him do that. If it's a bad shot, then we can talk about that. And if they lose an OT, that's going to be a highlight of it. But he shot what he was comfortable with. He made the bucket. And the other thing is, Paul George, there's really no defense for his reasoning. And I would say that because Dame's percentage is from that deep. And all you need to do is look up at the clock at 3 seconds and realize it's tied. He's clearly dribbling for a three. Let me go out just a little more. Yeah. And at the worst, he has a weird off-balance shot and he makes it whatever. Paul's hand is kind of in his face. That's more due to his length. I didn't think Paul George was smart in defending the way that he did. Dame clearly wanted to shoot a three.
Well, I think, I don't know why they didn't run a second guy at him late.
I know, and just make anybody else shoot that shot.
Because Dame was out that far. I think he was waiting for it. Because when he got over half court, there was, what, 7 or 8 seconds? Maybe nine?
Might even have been more. Because he got the ball.
11, yeah.
He got the ball with 17 left. Yeah. I know that. When they passed it to
and
him after the
dribbled.
Rebound.
It might have been around 11 or 12 when he got past
half
court.
So he waited there for a little bit, I think, to see if the double team was coming. And then CJ or somebody would have swooped right underneath him at the top of the key and would have done something there. And then when it didn't come, he's like, okay, I'm taking this shot. And I don't know why OKC didn't run somebody Adam at like 5 seconds to go to try and either make him be fading or not be able to step into it or something. I think, and we saw that all series long was OKC at crunch time just didn't make the good adjustments. Man, they played in that first quarter of that game like they should have played the entire series, and why they can't sustain it, I don't know.
Well, I think we saw it. It's the fourth quarter and their execution. What happened? They went on a 30-6 run, went up 15. They disappeared.
Right. They were nowhere to be found towards the end. And P1 Nick said, you know, you guys, people can kill Dame throughout the course of the year with 35-foot or deep shots. It's not a, that was honest. It wasn't a good shot. But I think you have to understand, though, as you mentioned, the time, the place, and the context with it. One, you weren't trailing. If you're down by one or two, as we've all brought up, and Dame attempts that shot and he misses it, yeah, I think there's going to be some frustration from Blazer fans. If Dame is having a night, let's say like Russell Westbrook was, where he was 11 of 31 and not efficient in any way, shape, or form at that point in the game, and he's trusting his jump shot in that moment, sure, maybe there's some frustration. But when you consider the circumstance of being in a tie game, so really there was no negative that could come from missing that shot. If you miss, okay, you go to overtime and you battle it out. Guess what? At that moment, I believe, didn't both George and Westbrook have five fouls on them?
Yep. Yeah,
so
they
you
both
got
their
two key guys, both have five fouls. You just erase a 15-point deficit in the final 7 minutes, so all the momentum is on your side.
Yeah.
Like, there's no negative to shooting that. You're feeling it. You're hot. I don't think there's any bad shot in that moment.
That was his 10th three-point make for the game. Got him to 50. My final point on this, and then we'll read some thoughts here at the Better You Today text line, because we haven't really read a lot of thoughts from the listeners today and how you guys felt about that, them advancing to the second round. My final point would be, if a player is in a zone like that, if that's Steph, if that's KD, if that's LeBron, fill in the blank, great player, I don't know if we're really killing them. So I don't understand why anybody in Portland today is waking up even wondering aloud if how bad that shot was or not, you know, how great or bad that shot. Why are we doing that? He had a 50-point game. At right. some level, you get to a point, I think, as a fan, where don't you just watch a guy be in a zone that you'll never understand and you go, you do what you need to do, bud.
He was 9 of 17 at that point from three.
If that's the shot you want, yeah. you're about to get 50 points. Who the hell am I to sit here and tell you it's a bad shot?
Close to 60% on the night. Go ahead, bombs away, buddy.
There's just moments where I think you can say, okay, yeah, bad shot, but you're Damian Lillard. You dropped 50 points. Okay, coming up next, what are your thoughts and feelings of the Blazers? Are you buying into the Western Conference Finals stuff? Golliver surprised me. He likes that matchup against Denver. I don't know if I'm quite there yet, but we'll talk about round two and the opponent they potentially could have. Thanks for sticking with us. Happy Wednesday. We continue on the Blazers here on 1080 The Fan. I think this is a very, very good point from Dave in Portland on Twitter. Yeah, Dame's like 37-footer is the shot we all imagine taking as yeah. the clock is winding down as a kid. You're doing a long step-back three that you heave.
Three, two.
You know? Especially for most of us whites, we can't dunk.
No, that's our game winner
so
right
like,
there.
Hey, hit yeah. me in the corner, Steve.
I'm open.
Let's get the three.
I'm open.
We got Casey Aldall coming up here in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
ForwardCenter.net. He had a good write-up at the website, so go check it out. Got a great quote from Dame at the end of the night. And also, of course, does the Rip City Report with a good friend of the show, Joe Freeman. So we'll get his thoughts here just on the local angle, Portland going to round two. Remember, we talked about this yesterday. We brought him on right before the year started. We said, what do you think the expectation should be?
Yeah.
He said, just get out of round one. And we're obviously hoping for more, but you have exceeded your expectations. You've right. accomplished the goal. And now it's like, can you go further than that?
Well, it's such a mixed emotion out of last night's game, too, because I think in the moment when you're down by 15 in the fourth quarter after going on a run, when they built their lead up to 8, I believe, is what it got up to. When they led by 8, didn't we all? I mean, we all thought this is it. I mean, they're at home. They got it cooking right now. Dame's on fire. I mean, they're going to kind of run away from this thing. Oklahoma City's going to implode like we've always seen them implode. And then they followed that up with just an incredible run to build a 15-point lead in the fourth quarter. And the numbers, I saw this on SportsCenter last night. It blew me away. Teams that led by 15 with less than 7 minutes left in the NBA this season, all season, it happened 626 times, okay? A team with a 15-point lead with less than 7 minutes left.
I always love people that track
find that. These stats. 626 times. You know how many times the team with the lead won? 623. Only three times did that happen all year. By the way, Oklahoma City was 25-0 in those games. And Portland found a way to win. We had all gone there mentally thinking of, because, I mean, here we were spending the last 2 days talking about the second round. Do you want Denver? Do you want San Antonio? OKC comes out like a bat out of hell in the first quarter. It's like, all right, they came to play. They're not going to fold. We understand that. Portland battles back, and then you're down 15, and you're like, oh, God, here we go. You got to go back to Oklahoma City. It's going to be a game on Thursday night. What happens if you lose that one?
Now I mean, yeah.
Right? They yeah. got the momentum. They're feeling good. Now you got a game seven. And then Dame happened.
I think the last thing you want was a game seven.
Right, because anything can happen in a game seven.
I mean, Paul George might be hurt. Pfft, not going to matter in game seven. He's going all out. He went all out last night. He couldn't miss in the beginning.
Well, and I'll shout out a couple of the guys, because Dame did that by himself. Like, without Dame, they're down by 30 at the half. Nobody else showed up. CJ was in foul trouble. Cantor's shoulder was banged up. Harkless and Aminu weren't doing much. Curry couldn't hit anything. Evan Turner is unplayable at this point.
Yeah.
It was a one-man wrecking crew. Somehow they led the game. I still haven't figured that out. But when they needed it most down the stretch, for as critical as I was on Twitter about certain guys, CJ was atrocious. Then what did he do? He hit a couple of big buckets. Cantor gutted it out the entire second half, playing with what he said was a dislocated shoulder. How about Mo Harkless, who I believe started, 1 of 6 from the foul line and then hit four clutch free throws in the last 2 minutes of the game.
Like, felt like 0 for 10, but sure, I'll take one for 6.
It felt like every time it was like, dear Lord, make a free throw.
The entire arena was like, oh.
Right? And they were a team that played terrible defense for basically 3.5 quarters. And then when they needed it most, Curry comes away with a steal. You take an offensive, a charge. You get an offensive foul. Like, those little things added up to make that comeback a reality.
Yeah. I mean, there's no doubt. I know basically the first hour and a half of this show, it's been the Damian Lillard show, but he scored 50. Like, without his 50, they lose that game by 30.
Right, right. So they're nowhere near that game without him.
So it does matter, and I think he does deserve the bulk of the credit. But as you mentioned, CJ came in there. You know, he took a couple shots. He wasn't very good. I think he was 1 for 7 from behind the three-point line.
Yeah, he had an off night.
He got his rhythm going, though, after a couple misses, and he had he was aggressive. He had those easy little bunnies that he made. Mm-hmm. Those aren't always easy in those situations.
And he hit the shot to tie it.
Yeah, to 115.
Yes, he did. Mo Harkless had like back-to-back-to-back dunks, just nice little easy passes, and he cut through. And that was the thing, is like OKC's defense kind of got lazy. I think that was a huge contributing factor, is they were okay allowing Portland to get within 6 or 7. And I thought, that's a dangerous way to play, man. Yeah. You want to bury them if you possibly can. You're up 15. And they would be lazy on defense. They take a terrible shot on offense. Boom, there you go. A couple possessions later, Portland's right within shouting distance. So Oklahoma City shot themselves in the foot, but let's not overlook the role players of Portland. By the way, Seth Curry telling the bench before Dame hit the shot, he's going to end your season. And then he looked at him right as the ball went in and said, told you.
Yeah.
Well, and the other thing too, for the life of me, I don't know why Steven Adams isn't in there in the last minutes, because they tried to put – who was trying to – Jeremy Grant and right. Schroeder and whoever else was trying to guard Cantor, and Dame's like, oh, pff, there's a bucket.
Yeah. Dump it to him in the post.
Westbrook was on Cantor a couple times too, and I just thought, where's the help coming? And then Paul George helped, and then he fouled Mo Harkless. And
right.
By the way, Mo Harkless's free throws, he made them, Paul George didn't.
He missed two in the final
huge.
Minute.
Huge. And I almost make the claim, if Paul George makes those, they're up 8. And you're kind of like, ugh. It's just a defeating feeling giving up 2 more points.
It breathes life back into you when you miss those shots.
Right. And so I think that helped him as well. And that kind of put Oklahoma City at a point as well of, ah, crap, we're 2 shots away from them tying this. And Portland took the long route there with twos, but they got there.
Well, and the other possession I thought was critical. And these kind of things get lost when you have a 37-footer. But so CJ hits the jumper to tie it at 113. OKC comes back the other way, and that was the only possession in their final 8 that they scored on. And Paul George hit the jumper just a little bit further than the free throw line to go up by 2 again, 115-113. Portland called a timeout with 39 seconds left. And on the ensuing possession out of the timeout, Damian Lillard drove to the hoop, somehow just threw Oklahoma City's defense like they didn't exist, and scored within 6 seconds. And when he did that, I think there was a huge sense of relief, because not only was the game tied again, but you also ensured yourself that you're going to get the final look. Whether Westbrook or George hits a shot on the other end, whether they miss, whether they go to the foul line, doesn't matter. We're going to have a final chance at either tying or winning the game, and that's a really good spot to be in. So whether it was Dame just doing that on his own, whether it was something Stotts drew up, that was a huge possession, because they had 39 seconds. He scored with 33 left. To get a bucket that quickly and ensure they got the 2-for-1.
I know this might not be everybody out there, but I do buy that people had this feeling. So I'm going to read this from a listener at the Better You Today text line. We'll get to your guys' thoughts as well. Sorry we haven't really read text. It's just been such a busy show. Crazy game yesterday.
We're all distracted today.
But this listener says, I don't know why, but even down 15, I just knew CJ and Dame weren't going to lose. I was still confident and thought to myself, comeback is going to be sweet and awesome. And that's the thing is, I just think in that moment, there is something to what they were. Again, Westbrook and George gave you their best game possible in the series, and you won the game. You were right within striking distance. You had a one-man wrecking crew, and that didn't matter. He was enough to be just within an earshot of having a comeback. By the way, I had a buddy of ours, P1 Iverson, text the link for the Got Bricks Next Question t-shirt.
Oh, they're already making them, huh?
I don't know if a company already made them and Nurk found them, or this company already jumped on the Nurkic thing.
Right, I'm going to sell those. That just added, like, it was such a crazy night. Yeah. Like, that's a lost footnote, is Nurkic showing up randomly.
He just downed driving from his house, right, and said, I'm going in, let's go.
Like, the arena erupts, and I don't know if you notice it, but I'm thinking to myself, because you could hear it on TV, like, what the hell? They're down by 8 or 10, whatever. Why are they just erupting right now?
There was a buzz. So before they showed it, maybe on TV or you heard it, there was kind of a buzz, like, is that Nurkic?
Like a
is
murmur building. Yeah.
And then they showed him on the Jumbotron. Insane.
And then he dropped an F-bomb on live TV.
Yeah, did you see Calabro, by the way, go Disneyland, Dad? Let me take a picture, guys. And he's like holding, did you not see this?
No, I didn't see that.
This is going to be not great radio, but trust me when I say this. Go look at the pictures, the still shots of Nurkic with Hurd and Calabro.
Okay.
Go look at Kevin Calabro. He's not participating in the interview. It's Lamar Hurd.
He's taking pictures of the scene.
He takes his cell phone out and he's taking pictures, but he looks like he's taking weird selfies like a dad would at Disneyland.
Like doesn't know what to do with his hands. Yes. Like how he's holding it.
He looks like a dad that's never had an iPhone before. I love Kevin Calabro, but go look at those pictures. It was hilarious to see. Casey Oldall writes for forwardcenter.net, trailblazers.com. Wrote a great piece on Dame, and he's going to join us next. Where does this thing go? What is he made of what we've seen from Dame, CJ, and this team? Casey Oldall is next.
Well, it's just a big party in Portland today, so we might as well just keep it going, right? Joining us now on the MVPHomeLoans.com Guild Hotline, friend of the show, Casey Oldall. Follow him on Twitter, at C-Hold, forwardcenter.net. Casey, thank you for taking the time for us today. How do you even begin to describe what happened at the Moda Center last night?
Yeah, what I've just been telling everyone is just that it was stunning. You know, I just the reaction after he hit that shot, and just, you know, obviously we've seen him do similar things like that before, but just in that moment, in that situation, it just seemed like no one knew how to act. No one knew how to be, you know, like it was like that shot had like taken control of all of our consciousnesses, basically, and like was you felt like a sports zombie almost, yeah. You know, like it was like it is this thing from the outside happened, and then it took over 20,000 people all at the same time and kind of moved them the way it wanted to move them and put thoughts in their heads that it wanted to put there. So I mean, it was something else, like, and just you just come away from it feeling just like Damian Lillard is just—he's just different. Like there's just something else about him that I don't know that we're able to really quantify.
You know, that's a good way of putting it too, Casey. Because as soon as he walked off, it was like he snapped his fingers and woke everybody back up, and we realized we were in an arena and we needed to go home or go get some work done. I think that's a really good point of it putting us in a trance. It also felt like too on that point, he's different. We hate all the other teams with those great players, but I think you kind of realize after last night, oh, this is what it's like when you have one of those killers on your team, right? That guy that just rips your heart out, stomps on it, and then doesn't smile.
Waves goodbye to you.
He just like waves goodbye. Like had Kobe Bryant did this to Portland for so many years, and Laker fans would annoy the hell out of Portland fans about having a Kobe, but you get it when you watch Damian Lillard go do what he did.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, it's part of our DNA in Portland and in Oregon, just in general, to kind of assume that we're viewed down upon and that, you know, that everyone is against us and that, you know, the things that we accomplish don't get the same notice that they do other places. But with Damian now, and I think after that shot in the series, winning this series in such a dynamic fashion, like it's your point, like it's certifiable now that like, the Portland Trail Blazers have a superstar on their team who can bend the will of an NBA game in many respects to his will. And I mean, and that is Damian Lillard, like his ability to just decide that something is going to happen and then make it happen is, I mean, like those are the kind of things that's what separates like just the phenomenal players from the guys that become legends and that you remember forever is just like this ability to change the course of history. You know, I mean, that sounds too dramatic, but like to change the course of a city's history, of a franchise history, like it, that is what he's able to do, and there are not many guys out there who are able to do that.
No, and give you those iconic moments. We're talking with friend of the show, Casey Holdall, forwardcenter.net. Give him a follow on Twitter, at C Hold. You know, and last night, too, was sealing the win and now moving on to the second round. I'm wondering how you thought about or felt about this series going in, because, I mean, down the stretch, you lose Nurkic, and it just felt like everybody in Portland, ourselves included, were in that, oh, God, here we go again. You know, big guy goes down and he's having a career year. How are they going to find a way to do this? You're playing Oklahoma City. We all picked him to lose that series. So how did you feel about the series going in? And then how was your opinion, I guess, shifted, if at all, after watching what they did to the Thunder in five games?
You know, I felt good about their chances. I'll be honest. I felt like a good chunk of that was just not knowing exactly where Paul George was at in terms of his health and in terms of his shoulder. And, I mean, obviously, you know, he had talked about it a little last night that you know, they'll do some work on it. And, you know, in some respects, you look at his line, you look at what he did in the series, and you're like, well, I mean, he's still pretty dang good. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if you can just chalk it up to that shoulder not being right. But I mean, with that and knowing how motivated – particularly Damian was going to be in this series versus the Thunder. Like I always felt like they had a good chance, and seeing as well as Enes Kanter played in those last 10-12 games of the season in replacing Jusuf Nurkić, that made me feel like, okay, like they got a shot in this one. I probably would have put it at a coin flip. And I think I even said, if Paul George is healthy, I think you probably have to give the benefit of the doubt to the Thunder. If he's not completely healthy, I think the Blazers have the best player in the series in Damian Lillard. And I think anytime you have the best player in a series, you always have a chance to win it. So, you know, I that's how I kind of went into the series, and I feel that way even more so now. As far as going forward, again, I think a lot of it does come down to Enes. You know, where is that shoulder at? How effective is he going to be able to be? Because, I mean, obviously already being thin at that position, you know, if you end up playing the Spurs, maybe you can get away with it because they don't really have that dynamic center, though LaMarcus is obviously going to be a problem for anybody. And then you look at the Nuggets and you see a guy in Jokic who is just going to pick you apart regardless. And if you don't have a big body to throw at him, it really, you know, you kind of have to start to really go deep into the well to figure out how you're going to take advantage of that matchup. So, you know, I'd like to get a sense of health first before I kind of figure out what I think they're going to do in the next round. But again, I'll tell you this, I think regardless of whether or not it's the Nuggets or the Spurs, I again think that the Blazers will have the best player in the series. And like I just mentioned, when you have the best player in a playoff series, you can play guys 40 minutes a night. You always got a chance. So, I mean, I think, you know, when you have Damian Lillard on your team at this point, particularly against a team like the Spurs or the Nuggets, I think you like your chances.
You know, you don't want to lose a Jusuf Nurkić, and I know a lot of people go, well, what is this team if they have Jusuf Nurkić right now? But given the injury that happened and when it happened, do you think that timeline was pretty vital to them figuring out who they are and being what they have been in this postseason run versus maybe losing him the third to last game of the year and going, okay, now we need to improvise. We need to figure out everybody's role within this thing without Jusuf.
No, that's an absolutely great point. They had just enough time to figure out how things were going to work, both between getting Enes onto the team with Jusuf when he was still healthy, and then, as you mentioned, kind of having about 3 weeks to a month of lead-in before the playoffs to get some wins. And again, wins that I don't think anyone looks back on and says, like, man, the Blazers were obviously a great team because they beat, you know, a few tomato cans at the end of the season. But just to build some confidence by doing that, I think was incredibly important. If that injury happens, you know, as you mentioned, a week, even maybe a week and a half, 2 weeks out, then I think you have a team that's probably still a bit stunned. If they come out of the gate after that injury and they drop a few games, then I think you got guys in the locker room kind of looking around saying, like, boy, do we really have enough to go out and beat anybody, let alone a good team like the Thunder? And, I mean, the way it turned out, obviously, you'd much rather have Jusuf out there, but if it was going to have to happen the way it did, and again, to be able to get a guy in Enes Kanter as a mid-season vet minimum guy, something that Portland, I mean, we never get those chances, you know? Like, those are the guys that always end up going to the Warriors or the Rockets or the Sixers, you know, teams that everyone assumes are going to compete for a championship. To get a guy like that to come to Portland, you know, to save the season for all intents and purposes is like, I mean, that's impressive. And yeah, I mean, if it had happened any other way, We're probably not talking about the Blazers advancing to the second round.
Yeah, and we're talking with our buddy Casey Holdall at C-Hold on Twitter. Go give him a follow. You had a great quote last night, because we were trying to explain to it earlier, where players are brought into the room, and it's not the same necessarily as the regular season. So everybody watching the postgame scrum and media, Dame's media availability didn't see this. So you went and got an extra quote, which I think added on top to the Chris Haynes story, really highlighted how personally Dame took this. So did that surprise you? And then let everybody know what your quote was that you tweeted out after the game last night.
Sure. So, I want to mention too, I thought that there was a ton of great stuff written about that game last night. I thought Joe Freeman, my partner on the City Report, wrote a phenomenal story. Mm-hmm. I thought Jason's story on The Athletic was next level. And then obviously, as you guys mentioned, Chris Haynes getting some of those quotes that just blow your hair back when you read them. So I just want to mention, I thought everyone did a really phenomenal job there. I thought Jamie had a really great story about Jusuf Nurkić coming back. There were quite a few of us that were kind of waiting out the scrum to talk to Damian afterwards, which you can do when you've built a relationship with the guy, as a lot of us have with Damian. And, you know, basically, so I waited until basically he was leaving the actual arena, and I was walking with him to the loading dock. And first asked him about the crowd and why he kind of decided to walk around the crowd. And he was like, hey, I just wanted to acknowledge everyone. You know, they went through all the BS that we went through last year as well. And, you know, they're here with us. So I really wanted to make sure that they knew they're appreciated. And then I asked him, you know, about if he had anything else to talk about the trash talking, because, I mean, I've talked to Damian off the record quite a bit about these things, and I knew where his mind was. And, you know, he probably didn't open up as much during the series because he didn't want to necessarily give, you know, that material to anyone. But after it was said and done, I knew, you know, that he had some things that he wanted to say. And so, you know, as he's getting onto the van, you know, with his family, I was like, you know, so kind of what about the trash talk? And he says, you know, he said he's been busting my ass for years. That wasn't true for one. And this was the moment of truth. This was the perfect platform and opportunity for him to prove it. And you see what happened. And I mean, Damian's been carrying that with him for a while. The notion that, you know, he wasn't bothered by those statements and that he just kind of let that stuff go off his back, which was smart for them to do in the series. But that never went away, you know, and the idea like, well, we're cool off the court. I said it yesterday on a Rip City Report Live. That's kind of just something you say, you know, to keep things moving. That's real. And you can't go back from some things, you know, like I've realized that for a lot of things, players understand that what happens on the court is on the court, and you kind of move on once you're off the court. But there's some stuff that you don't get to take back. And Damian remembered it, and he used it, and he spoke with as loud as voice, you know, after he had accomplished what he said he was going to accomplish.
You know, I have a question about the next round and where they go, but I wanted to ask very quickly, there was a blurb in the Haynes story, the one of many, where I had missed this. I don't know if you'd seen. Did you see Dame tell Westbrook, I believe in game four, don't run away from this ass whooping? Did you see that?
I didn't see it. But again, I had talked to Damian throughout the series, and I know that he felt like it was an advantage that he knew that he was guarding Russell Westbrook and Russell Westbrook wasn't guarding him. Yeah. And it does not at all surprise me that he would remind Russell that was the case.
I know why he doesn't do it, and I think he plays this. I think he plays it almost as well as any athlete we've seen in quite some time. But man, there is a part of me that wish he would step to the podium and say things like this on a more regular basis versus being, you know, those relationships with you and Chris and everybody else giving you guys those great quotes. We enjoy reading them. I know it might be insane to some. But you mentioned what Dame is doing, how locked in he is, how he still doesn't seem satisfied even with winning a series. And you had said at the beginning of the year, that was the expectation, get out of round one. How far do you think he carries this team? Just go out there, give an opinion. How far do you think he carries Portland this year?
You know, I mean, I will say, we didn't end up getting to use it because I think the next day Jusuf broke his leg. But I remember that I think he was on, it might have been on The Jump with Rachel Nichols. He was on some national show, and he basically said, he's like, yeah, I don't see why we can't make the Western Conference Finals. He's like, no one talks about us like a team that can get there, but I really believe that we can do it. And I don't think that he stopped believing that. You know, after Nurk went down, I think that Damian has such a belief in himself and what he's helped build here in Portland and in his teammates that, you know, they feel like Western Conference Finals is an attainable goal. And so do I think they're going to get there? Again, I think it's going to depend on the matchup a little bit, but they're as close to getting there. I would give them a better shot to get there this year than at any other time mm-hmm. than I've covered the team over the past 12, 13 seasons. So, you know, I'm a little remiss to kind of go over the top on that. But yeah. Again, like I think that they have the matchup fits them. And I don't think that either the Nuggets or the Spurs really strike fear into anyone's heart. So I could absolutely see it.
Yeah, the window's open. Now we'll see if they take advantage of it. I love it. Hey, we'll meet you at the Moda Center and start building the statue later. Sound good?
Yeah. I'm good with a trowel. I have some welding skills that I picked up in high school. So, you know, I'll put me to work. I'm happy to lay some bricks.
By the way, I don't know if you saw it because you went viral last night, which was kick-ass for you. What happens if a media member asks Dame for an autograph? Does that media member get suspended or banned?
You know, Damian is such a kind and, you know, accepting person in terms of media. I bet he'd break you off a little signature and wouldn't tell anyone about it. So
you know
how we are here in Portland. We play things a little different.
I'll tell my friend that you said that.
Yeah,
Thank you.
We'll pass it along. We'll pass the message along. Casey Holdall, forwardcenter.net. Give him a follow on Twitter @CHold. He had a great write-up from last night's game. Go read it. Casey, thank you for the time today. Enjoy this bliss that we're all living in, and we're looking forward to round two.
Thank you, guys. I really appreciate it.
There you go. Casey Holdall, forwardcenter.net.
He also wrote a really good piece, too.
He did. He had a great recap from it. I thought the way he described the shot going in and all of us not knowing what to do, like that Ricky Bobby, what do I do with my hands kind of reaction and just being sport zombies in the moment. That was a really eloquent way to put it.
You know how at the start of the show, when you asked me to describe it, like a long way of saying it. He said it perfectly.
That's what I meant to say.
We were in a trance, and nobody knew what to do, and everybody was shaking, and we couldn't believe what they had just seen. That was well put by him.
Well, let's have some fun, and it's no longer looking too far ahead. Who do you want to play in the second round, Denver or San Antonio? We'll get to a little bit of that next. Crunch time on the Fam.
The pressure's on.
We have an opportunity to reestablish ourselves, get a big win. Not all is lost.
Who's feeling the heat?
Now we got to go home and make sure that, you know, we take care of business there. Shame on us if we don't.
It's crunch time. Look at the hottest topic in sports. Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments.
Hey, Crunch Time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments. I was out at the Glorious House of Gaines today.
Let's go! Nice job!
I didn't see you there, huh? What, were you doing something last night?
Wednesdays are my late days.
Late
I have
days.
To take my youngest daughter to my sister-in-law's house on... I was going to say on the late days.
Late
on Wednesdays.
Late on Wednesdays.
So I'm a workout after work guy.
There are there's so many things that we just kind of miss throughout the course of trying to encapsulate what happened last night. And as we're going on throughout the course of the show, we're trying to get to everything. One thing, I don't know if we've brought it up or not, but can we address the fact that Seth Curry told Oklahoma City's bench that they were going to lose and then stared him down right after the shot went in?
Just amazing that somebody was able to notice that,
right?
Zoom in, and just have that video ready.
It was like everybody, I saw the video circulating. It was like, just watch Curry in the corner. And he goes and he stands, because Dame's dribbling for like 12 seconds. So he looks at, if you haven't seen it, he looks at the Thunder bench and he says something to him, which I guarantee you is, get ready for your season to be over. And then as soon as the shot goes in, he just turns around and just stands there and stares at him.
I saw somebody tweet, could somebody create... because there was an image, and we saw it on the jump, Ray Felton's face. Can somebody find Ray Felton's face and then add Curb Your Enthusiasm music, the ending music, you know?
Bum, 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 ba-dum.
That would be great. And I've loved the musical renditions, the DMX, the Titanic, the JR stuff. I didn't find that to be...
Daddy killed him!
You didn't like that one?
No, because I don't think it's as great as the DMX or Titanic.
Okay.
I did want to ask you this because I don't want to forget it. What do you think goes through a Russell Westbrook's mind watching the guy he has S-talked hit the shot, drop 50 on him, and win the series? What goes through your mind? Are you just like, meh, it's summertime? Are you like, I'm a moron? Because I'm instantly feeling dumb.
You have to. There's no other way to feel it.
You have to feel dumb.
Right? That was, I saw a couple of tweets just talking about how badass it was, because that was one of the most cold-blooded things I've ever seen in the history of the NBA. And for the Game of Thrones nerds out there, I tweet, it was like Arya Stark stuff.
Yeah.
Like, he had Russell Westbrook's name on his list because of something that was said years ago. Remember, there's the video of him a couple of years ago when Westbrook kicks the ball away from him after a made shot, and he turns around like, what? There's the video. I think it was it last year that Westbrook said, I've been working that ass for years or whatever it
been
is.
Busting that ass for years.
So all those little things add up. Then, of course, game three, and he just bided his time. Waited for the right time. Never really responded publicly, even though internally you knew he wanted to. And then when it was all said and done, he's the one hitting a 37-footer.
Well, and I feel bad because I sold Haynes short. We read the Chris Haynes, some of the quotes from the Haynes piece at Yahoo, which was really great. He got to go to the house, and him and Dame clearly have a great relationship. The one quote I left out might have been the best quote in the story. Apparently in game four, and I never had seen this till the quote, Dame found a clip where in game four, Dame's going off and Westbrook stopped guarding him.
Yeah.
And I guess Dame told Westbrook, stop running away from this ass whooping.
Yeah, it's the most badass quote of all time. Now,
this is what I'm talking about, is there have been so many other great players in the league that have that killer, I'm going to let you know I'm murdering you thing. We've never had one before. And I think we understand, we might not like him, we'll never root for him, but we understand where Laker fan comes from with Kobe.
Right.
You understand what Bulls fans were with
Jordan.
You have
that guy. You know he's going to win the game for
you. Well, Larry Bird was the most notorious.
Sure. He would tell you what he's going to do.
What he's going to do, then he'd go do it, and then he'd tell you, well, I did it.
Yeah. What do you want?
I remember there was a story about him where he'd lean at the bench coming down, and he would go, what do you guys want? A corner three? A wing three? And some, I can't remember who the player was, but somebody goes, hit one from the corner, Larry. You won't. He got the ball, shot it, drained it, and goes, shut up.
It turns around.
Like, shut up. There is something to having that guy that I think you appreciate a little more. And I don't know who they get. I would presume you get Denver. I was a little surprised because I think Jokic could absolutely bruise up Cantor, and then I don't know about Myers or Zach in round two. But Ben Golliver likes that matchup, and I think what Holdall points out that is 100% right, you may not think they beat Denver. You can't dismiss the possibility or suggest it's ridiculous
if they're in the Western Conference Finals,
because they will have the best player between whoever they play. And that matters, especially when you get to this level, the superstar level.
Well, let's have a little more on that. I did want to read this because a listener wanted me to remind. So if you missed it, we had Casey Holdall on. It was great. We'll podcast it as soon as the show's over. But he caught up with Dame walking out of the arena. And he was talking about the moment and all that stuff, and it was just having a conversation with him. And he said, is there any final things you want to say to Oklahoma City? And a listener asked to repeat what Dame's quote was. He said, quote, said he's been busting my ass for years. That wasn't true for one. And this was the moment of truth. This was the perfect platform and opportunity for him to prove it. And you see what happened. Love that quote. Let's get into that second round matchup, Denver or San Antonio. How are we feeling about those? We'll do that to kick out the final hour. Crunch Time brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month, no hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments. Who do you want, Denver or San Antonio? We got to get to stat or story. The NFL draft's tomorrow. We might mention that if we feel like it. There was a crazy game in the Stanley Cup playoffs last night, and maybe we just spend the final half hour on some more Blazers because last night was incredible. Loaded final hour, including we're going to start the final hour, if you missed it, with the repeat of our Open and all the wonderful calls that flowed in as Dame hit the 37-footer to win it. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.